2 Corinthians chapter 4, the text is verses 8 and 9. The title of my subject this morning is Never Give Up. Never Give Up. For 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. This is the text for the message this morning. Let's look at that first clause again. We are troubled on every side. The Greek is, we are being pressed hard on every side. And so the King James translators have translated it troubled, because if you're being pressed hard, you're troubled. We are being pressed hard on every side. In the 7th chapter and verse 5, Paul said concerning him and his cohorts, for when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. He said, do men of God ever feel? Yes, but with that feel, they look to God and put their trust and hope in Him and allow God to erase fears. But it's normal to have fears. But then as we come to God, He takes us above the normal into the supernormal and up above the normal, and we need not feel, and we can be strong in the Lord. But even during the time when fear is there in the natural heart, God gives strength, and you see His children through it. It's fearful to be taken to the stake to be burned, and I'm sure many of the martyrs felt fear. Others felt great peace and boldness. But even during that, there was a commitment. There was a peace and a deep, settled joy. And many of them praised God all the time they were going there, and even right in the fires. Paul was pressed hard outwardly, and he was also pressed hard inwardly. We have not striven yet into blood. We are being pressed hard inwardly, but not yet outwardly. And it has been a ferocious battle in the hearts and minds of many people. The devil's been fighting them with all that he has inwardly. But we can thank God we haven't yet had it outwardly. Yet, I believe that we must prepare for being pressed hard outwardly, because we will shortly. Therefore, it is not enough to gain the spiritual strength enough to take care of the battles going on within. We must also gain the spiritual vigor and make the commitment necessary to stand when we are being pressed hard outwardly. We must be prepared to be pressed with stronger temptations. As more and more the world is getting into a place where there's going to be pressure by the government, and you'll be tempted not to go to service if there are certain laws are made, not to witness to people, not to lay hands on the sick, if there are certain laws against it, so forth. Be pressed hard, because the temptations out here to the flesh and all kinds of callings and situations, there will be stronger and stronger temptations. It is not enough to live a plateaued Christian life, therefore. It is not enough that we are making it now. We have to continue to grow in grace and the strength of God that we might make it in the days to come. Many people make it for a while, but as it gets harder, they fall. We must make it and continue to make it all the way to the other shore. Most churches are not teaching this. They're just kind of floating along with blessing and talking about things right now. We have to talk about and prepare for the future. We must gain strength now. We must prepare to get pressed with stronger oppressions. The oppressions are stronger now than they've ever been in the history of man, to my knowledge. The oppressions of the devil, but they're going to get worse. We must be prepared so that you know that if you go through an oppression, you don't quit. You don't quit the body. You don't quit the church. You don't quit Jesus. Because you're going through oppression, because things look dark, because some brother or sister has done something wrong or let you down or hurt you or something else, but you stick with Jesus no matter what goes on. Even if things don't go right, you stick in the body that God has put you. You don't quit. You make up your mind ahead of time. If you're oppressed and you can't see the light of the sun, then he's still up there. If you're in the shadows and everything seems to go wrong and your feet is knocked out from under you, you find yourself broken legs, you find yourself in a wheelchair, you find yourself down and you don't know what's happened, you can't even be in Bible class, you're laying on your back someplace, or the devil's beating on you, you stick with God no matter if you don't understand why. We must be prepared for being pressed with widespread spiritism that is sweeping the land, the sorceries, it's going to get everywhere. And that's going to bring more oppression. Demon spirits and demon oppression, it's growing. This type of thing is bursting in this land. It's becoming large. Demonism is going to sweep this country. We must be prepared to stand with Jesus among all the demon oppressions and not let them get a hold of us. That's why we need to die to self, walk with God, live for God. We need to keep in the Spirit. We need to keep praying. We need to keep full of faith. We need to hide the Word in our heart. We need to keep on the victory so we don't fall in the slumps and allow these things to come in and destroy us. We must be prepared to be pressed with widespread fanaticism, because it's already here, but it's going to get worse. Widespread false prophets, it's going to get worse. You know, in the last 10 years, the bulk of the false prophets we have right now have arisen in the last 5 or 10 years. You notice that? They come out of nowhere, it seems like, out of the woodwork, they say. It's all of a sudden a hill. And it's building. We got more today than we had 15, 20 years ago. They're building. And it's going to get a lot worse. And so, situations like we mentioned this morning, it's not going to be anything compared to what you're going to see. And be prepared to see miracles come from their hands. Be prepared to let them say the name of Jesus and quote Scripture and demand that they are God's servants. And God told them so. And they'll give you the testimony. Be prepared for that. But line everything up to the Word of God. Don't listen to all what they say. Watch what they do. See how they love Jesus or don't love Him. If they're not praising God, if they're not loving Him, if they're not magnifying Jesus, if it isn't Jesus that they're holding up, be careful. If it isn't Jesus that they're magnifying, if they're not right to God's Word, if they're not living right and building, if there isn't that kinship of spirit, there isn't the love and the praise and the rejoicing that's always there when God's servants around the world, and has always been when God's Spirit has been upon His ministers, they've been people who love God. They love the things of God. There's a rejoicing. There's a praise. And if it's devoid of all of that, but it's mechanical rightness, well, watch out. We must be prepared to be pressed with these things. Troubled. Scripture says, we are troubled. The Greek is pressed hard. It means you're pressed on all sides so that you cannot flee. Well, if you're pressed on all sides and you can't run, then what do? You better stand and fight. Ephesians 6:13. I used to teach, I used to teach sport judo, and I used to teach combat judo. We taught the Napa Police Department and some others, and I used to tell some of them the best defense, they say, what's the best defense a person would say against a knife? And I'd say, tennis shoes. Make tracks. But failing this, if you're in a corner, you can't run, you got to fight. You got to know how then to defend yourself. We'd try to teach them then the second best method. Your best defense against the devil is to get out of there. Don't stay in his territory. But if you get knocked down, if you get pressed on all sides and you can't run, you can't avoid the situation, Then Ephesians 6:13. No, that's not what I want. Yes, just a moment. Let me get there. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. S-T-A-N-D, not R-U-N, run. Stand. Stand and fight, but be sure you have all the armor on. So at your own leisure, read about the armor and make sure that you've got the armor on so you can stand and fight the devil. There's a time when you've got to stand and face him, and there's no getting out of it. You are pressed right there with the powers and the evils in front of you, and you've got no way to escape it, and you've got to stand and resist it, and you've got to fight it, and you've got to fight it until you win. And if you run, you're defeated. There's no back armor in the armor of God. Notice this, you'll find no back armor. He expects you to stand and face him and fight him and defeat him right there. By the power of Jesus Christ. Now, he says again, back in 2 Corinthians 4, that's the place we want to keep going back to. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Yet not distressed. In don't bother turn to it, but in 2 Thessalonians 2:2, Paul, it says in the Greek, Paul said when they heard about maybe the rapture had already come, he said, don't be quickly tossed from your judgment. Don't be so quickly tossed from your judgment, is the way the Greek says it. And so, don't be distressed. We're not distressed. We're pressed hard, but we're not distressed. The Greek is, literally, we are, but are not utterly hemmed in. And if you're not utterly hemmed in, so, well, you're not distressed then. It means you're not, you are not utterly hemmed in, so that you can't move. You're pressed on all sides, but you're not so hemmed in that you can't move. The Syriac version says, pressed hard, but not suffocated. And if you press hard, a person hard enough, you'll suffocate them. You just squeeze all the wind out. He said, well, we're pressed hard, but we're not yet suffocated. We can still breathe. We can still get enough breath to call for help. Lord, save me. Lord, I come to you. If you're ever in trouble, don't forget to pray. Jonah out of the belly of hell, cried he. Brother, what a masterpiece of a prayer he brought forth. Don't forget. You know, sometimes when you get so low, you don't feel like praying. That's the time you need to pray. And if you feel you can't, call your brothers and your sisters to help you. Say, brother, come over and help me. The devil has been fighting me and I can't even pray. Come on over. You're pressed on every side, but you still got breath, don't you? Then call for help. God's people. Call out for God. You can still breathing space until you regain strength. We're pressed on, but we still got breathing. We can still breathe. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Gain breathing strength. You'll have to pardon me this morning if you don't mind. In order to bring the analogies, I'm going to bring a number of analogies from the wrestling and sport judo game that I used to be in when I was in high school and college and so forth. And I know that field, and it's a natural, it makes natural applications this morning. There was a man I used to wrestle with in our same team in the YMCA when we were wrestling in the intercollegiate teams. He came from the Vancouver School of Blind. He was blind. But then he got an operation. He was almost blind. He got an operation, and with a contact lenses, he could see pretty well. And he was lightning fast. He had good reflexes, and he was extremely fast. And had a lot of stamina. He was an extremely fast track man, also. And then he went out in the Merchant Marine and started smoking and so forth. And he came back, and he was in a match. And I was refereeing that match. And he was so out of... He didn't have the stamina anymore. And he kept dogging it and trying to crawl off the mat and everything. He was just stalling for time. I had to keep warning him. He was stalling for time. He was dogging it, as they say. And kept crawling out of the mat. Well, I tell you, when the devil gets on you and you've lost your energy, you've sapped it because you've gone out and did something like he did, started bringing poison into your system until he didn't have the energy he used to have, then you've got to do what he did. I mean, he was doing the only thing he knew to do. There was an antagonist wanting to defeat him. And so he was crawling out of the battle for a while, see, off the mat. There are times you've got to get out of the fight when you're down. There are times you've got to dodge it and wait for breath. You're panting, you're waiting for breath. The enemy's pressing you hard. Well, you're pressed hard, but there's still breathing space. You dog it, but where you're there, he can't turn you over, but you're waiting for space. You're waiting to build up some energy so you can do something. And while you've got breathing space there, you're waiting for strategy to come to your mind. You're gaining strength, and you're thinking, trying to figure out what to do. And that's when your devil's got you down, and you're on the mat, so to speak, and he's pressing your heart, and you're panting, you don't know what to do, then you begin to look for strategy to come. Revelation from God through His Word. Get the Bible open. Start reading in the Psalms when you're in trouble. See what David did when he was in trouble. Begin to take the hope of the Word of God. Begin to take the strategy from the Word, and maybe even through the saints of God that you would call in. And with that strategy, with that breathing space, you'll still go on to win the match. William Tyndale translates this, "But we are not without our shift. We are pressed hard, but not without our shift." It's a term of the gladiators. A wrestler only needs enough space to shift his weight. He doesn't need an awful lot. He just needs enough to shift his weight. If a person comes up behind him and puts both arms underneath his arms and around his neck in a full Nelson like this, and he bends him over backwards a little bit so that he can't go forward, all he needs to do is shift his weight. He's bent over backwards. He needs to just shift his weight. And if he can shift his weight and bring down the wing and kick this leg up, he can throw him right over his back. He needs to shift the weight. And you're pressed. You can't go anyplace. But all you need is enough to shift your weight. And sometimes when the devil comes and he's got you in a lock and he's on you, you may have to shift the position you're in. You're in the wrong position to throw him. You can't throw him where you are. You've got to shift, make a change, so that you've got some leverage on him. And that comes through the Word of God. It comes through knowing what to do. Knowing what to do. This is why it's so important to know the Word of God, so you know what to do when the devil comes up against you. Get your brothers and sisters in to help counsel with you and pray with you and remind you of these truths. If a person's on the mat and a person is on his hands and knees and the other wrestler is pressing him hard and slamming him down, he needs to shift. All he has to do is shift one leg in close, grab the elbow, and do a fast arm roll. And he can change position. You're in the bottom, you shift, use some strategy, you're on top. You know you can be on the bottom, the devil is pressing you. If you will use God's strategy, you can shift and you can do an arm roll on him and be on top. You can end up on top. You don't have to stay in the bottom, the devil's got you down. You can get on top, but you've got to know what to do. And you've got to take the energy and the action to do it. You're pressed hard. It's quite common in amateur wrestling matches, and these professional matches bear no resemblance to an amateur match at all. They're just vaudeville, so you can forget that. But in amateur matches, it's not too hard, difficult, not too uncommon to see a wrestler who's being slammed to the mat and slammed off his knees and pressed down and pressed down and pressed down, and all of a sudden he does what they call a switch, and all of a sudden he's on top. He's changed positions. All of a sudden he collapses his arm, knocks the man's hand off, shifts his arm over the heel, shifts his arms over the other man, he shifts his leg out, bears down on his shoulders, he's right around, it happens that fast. And he's from the bottom, he's to the top. And you know, it doesn't take very long when the enemy's got you down to get on top, if you will take the action. If you will throw your energy, all your strength into it, and the techniques of God, the strategy of God, you can reverse that point. You don't have to be on the bottom under depression and under the powers of the devil. You can reverse, because God and you are majority anytime. You've got strength from the Lord. You can do it. You can do it. I used to when I was teaching sport judo, some of the huskier fellows always wanted to use strength instead of strategy. And I had to, at first, because they weren't too good at performing the throws. And I had to show them that strategy was the important thing, the knowledge. When you know, you come out on top. I've gone against people that were much bigger and weighed several hundred pounds, over a couple hundred pounds. It's not the size so much as knowing what to do. And so I would use this particular thing to explain this to them. There's a good analogy about us and the devil here. So a person comes up, the devil comes up behind you as adversary, comes up and he gets a stranglehold from behind. And the way they do it in sport judo is they use the clothing. They come up and they grab the pail, they get the clothing, and they cinch up and begin pulling on. And then they bend you over backwards and drop you, pull you right down to the mat, and they put both legs around your waist and they get the scissors on your kidneys, and you got about 3 or 4 seconds before you pass out from the pressure on the vagus nerve or else from strangulation, depending on how they got the arm. And you only can stand the excruciating pain in the kidneys for a few seconds. Now there you are, bent over backwards, being choked to death, being squeezed hard, your arms are useless, you can't move. And I tell them, that man who's being choked, he got the advantage. And their eyes get big. He can beat him in 1 second if he knows what to do. It just takes knowledge.
And so though that man is down there and his legs are around his waist like this, his feet are up, and I used to tell him, now, you can't move, your arms are useless, but he doesn't have your legs, does he? So you lift one leg up and hook it right over this foot. Connect your foot under the other one, they call a figure four, like this, and you put a pressure on your back and your legs, and you start bending that foot. That's a excruciating pain. He just flies loose in a wail of pain, and you roll right out. Only takes an instant. But the average person will stay there and go under because he doesn't know what to do. It isn't even commonly known among most judoists because they don't take that much time to learn mat techniques. And I picked this up in a book called Higher Judo from Feldenkrais from the European Judo Association. And there are techniques. Well, I want to tell you, the devil can have you in a strangle choking the very wind out of you. He can be putting pressure and there's no way out. You cannot move. There looks like there's not a way out. But there's always a way out if you know what to do. God has the wisdom. We must look to Him. He's the master. This technique was learned from the masters in Europe. It isn't even known in this country. But He is the master that knows everything. He knows every trick of the devil, and He knows what to do. He knows what to do. He can help you if you'll turn to Him. And that hour when there's no way out, you don't have to know what way out. You only have to know that He knows. And you only have to turn to Him. You only have to turn to Him. Don't let the devil bluff you. You know, there are some people. I took a team one time to a judo school, and we had a fellow who was he had a lot of amateur wrestling before he went to judo, and he was real good on the mat. And he got this Japanese fellow down on the mat, and the Japanese fellow would buffaloed him. He would tell him, "Oh, get down your mat, get up, it's all over, get up." And he would get up. And I would say, "Well, why is he letting him do that?" And they would go, and the fellow would get down, and the other fellow would take him down and take him. And then this fellow on my team always had the advantage when he got in the mat because he knew more about mat techniques. And the other fellow would jab around and tell him, get up, see? And he got I must be doing something wrong. They spoke so much Japanese, you couldn't understand them most of the time anyway. And so he'd get up. He kept getting up. He didn't have to. He eventually lost the mat and he could have had it. The devil will bluff you. You get advantage of him, and he'll make you think, let go, stop. He'll make you cease your action, confuse your mind. But brother, when you got him, finish him off. You're dying yourself, don't just put him on a little bit of a diet. Strangle him, get rid of him, kill him, get rid of the old flesh. Make your commitments. Brother, we're in a battle for life or death. You know that? This is a serious battle we're in. The devil is a powerful foe. And he's after you. Many of you know that by now. And God is for you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and high places. This is a battle for your very spiritual life. And the analogy is found right in the Argon or the arena, right here in the scriptures. And Paul uses those gladiatorial terms to show them. So I guess I have precedent this morning for this. Now, no good athlete quits when he's pressed hard. No good lawyer quits when he's pressed hard. No good soldier quits when he's pressed hard. Why should a Christian quit when he's pressed hard? No good Christian will quit when he's pressed hard. Don't quit when you're pressed hard. Even if you don't know what to do, even if you're being knocked down, even if you're panting, it makes no difference. Sometimes I've been in situations where we used to practice a lot on strangles, you know, and places where they're strangling, they're trying to strangle you, just bull your neck and stand it, and while the pressure is being applied, you don't quit because of a little bit of pain or you're being strangled. You stay there, you don't stop. In fact, let me say this. There was a fellow I talked to, he judoed for the Olympics, and he went to Japan, and he said it was the most ferocious competition I ever met in my life. He said, "I enjoyed judo. I hated it over there." Because he said the competition was so rough that everybody was striving for the Olympics. He said it was every ounce, every second was pound, 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 pound. He said, "Never let you up."
He said, now over here, if they get a strangle on you, and it gets bad enough, and you're about ready to go out, you're pat, and that means I give up, and they let loose, see? He said, over there, they don't let loose. You can pat as much as you want. They're going to take you clear out. Because they're teaching them, their training is and teaching them, you don't quit where you have an ounce of breath left. You can't take a chance. You've got to work that strategy to the very end. You don't quit when you're going out. You keep fighting. He said, and he said, you know that if they get your strangle, they will not let loose until you're out. He said, you feel like you're fighting for your very life. And he said, you fight for your very life. Well, I tell you, you are fighting for your very spiritual life. And this is no little fun game that you can pat and give up. Brother, the devil's after you, and you've got to fight to the end. He's going to strangle you right down and take your very life from you. And we used to practice these strangles, and we'd take them and go. There was a place you can learn to take these things. You can take a lot of things when you learn. You can take a lot more bone bending than you ever think you can when you're in it. And we're in a battle. We're going to have to learn how, as spiritual wrestlers before the Lord, to do these things. And it won't be easy, and it won't be pleasant, but you can learn how. And you can still defeat the enemy. And so the devil is battling your heart. Don't quit. Don't give up. But go on. Now, as an athlete, if you were an athlete and you were being pressed hard and you knew that you were going to win, you knew you could get out of this position and you knew you were going to win, would you give up? Would you give up if you were being pressed hard and you knew the technique to get out and reverse it and you knew you would win? Would you give up? Well, a silly question, isn't it? Of course you wouldn't. Well, then why do Christians give up when they're being pressed hard? We know that we're going to win, don't we? Don't we have the victory assured? Hasn't God promised us? Don't we know we're on the winning side? Don't we know that the saints shall rule the earth? Don't we know that the devil will be defeated? Then why do we quit when we're getting pressed hard? But there's no time to quit. You cannot quit. There is no quitting in this work of God. Just because you're pressed hard, don't quit. I'm always disturbed when I hear people quit and they say, oh, it's too hard, and they quit. Quit. Brother, don't quit when you're pressed hard. We used to say in wrestling, the best of defense is offense. Well, if it's true there, it's much more true in the spiritual life. Get on the offensive. Get off of the defensive where you're being pushed out of time. Get out and begin to work for God. Get the offensive. Get out and begin to work with people and begin to help people and begin to praise God and begin to testify and begin to witness and begin to work for God. Get on the offensive, brother. That's the best defense you got against the devil, is the offensive. Quit sitting there trying to fight and pray and groan and worry and cry. Get up on the offensive. Charge in and begin to do something for God. Amen? Amen. Then you will find out you get all kinds of strength because the Lord will be with you. Get off the defensive. All right, now it says here in 2 Corinthians 4, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. The Greek is we are utterly without a way. Therefore, the King James is perplexed. If you're without a way, you're perplexed. We are utterly without a way. The picture is you're hemmed in by narrow cliffs. The enemy's in front, and the enemy's to the rear. Now, you know how some Christians do when they get in a situation like that? They're hemmed in a strait. The enemy's on both sides. They do the same thing, if you'll pardon this little illustration. They do the same thing that Tonto did to the Lone Ranger in this little story. You ever heard that story? When he was riding through the valley, they looked up and Apache Indians would come from the front, and they wheeled the horses around and they took to reverse, and Apache Indians came into the canyon at the other side. And there were big cliffs at both ends. So they turned to the left and they began to ride up the butte to the left, and the Apaches came around and down the hill. They swung the horses, began to go to the right, Apaches came down the hill. And the ranger stopped and said, "We're trapped, Tonto." And Tonto said, "What you mean, we, white man?" Turncoat. You know, some Christians are just like that. The devil gets on all sides, and what happens? They quit. They change over sides. They join the devil's side because it gets hard. We had a woman in this assembly, a sweet, wonderful woman. She said, "Well, I got too hard. Every time I go to the grocery store, people say, 'Oh, do you go to that church? You believe in that doctrine?'" And she said, "I just couldn't take it any longer." Brother, if you're going to drop out because some people are saying some things about you, you'll never last the storms of life out here. Don't be a turncoat. Don't quit and get on the other side because the devil is after you. We've had a number of people change sides. Don't change sides. You're on the winning side. You change sides, you're going to lose in the end. You get pressed on every side. You don't know what to do. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. You know what that means? Look up, for your Redeemer draweth nigh. That's your redemption. Jesus Christ. In other words, when those old hawks are after you, look up and see Mother Eagle is winging her way in to lift you, bear you up as on wings of an eagle. Carry you right up. There's no way. How about up? Have you tried that? Your help cometh from above, the scripture says. There's an all-seeing eye looking down on you. Here he is not, you're not defeated. He's made an escape route through the heavens. Just about when these things shall come to pass, they shall be snatched up out of the mist, the scripture says. And that's true spiritually. When the devil is just about ready to upon you, God is our way of escape. He said, for every temptation that comes up, like that. You're utterly without a way, therefore perplexed, but not without a byway, therefore not in despair. Now, Israel was hemmed in at the Red Sea, but God made a byway, opened it right up and went right through. Israel was hemmed in the wilderness. They had no food. They had no water. There was no way. God made a byway. He made a way. He made water to come from the rock, and he caused bread to fall from heaven. He can make a way. I'm going to tell you tonight, this morning. Elijah was without a way. There he was in the land of famine, and the brook Cherith had dried up. Black Bud came over and brought him food. God will supply your needs according to his riches and glory. His courts are full. He'll see that you get it. With God, all things are possible. Margie Shankill. Margie, raise your hand. Is Dave up at the first camp? Is he going there? He said it there. You see, the case with Dave Shank was that because he was a conscious objector and they didn't allow him the privilege, even though he still is one, even though he wasn't legally one, they sentenced him to 5 years at McNeil Island in prison. And then the judge, as his case is, they sentenced him there, and then they suggest they put him in the forest camp. See? So they always go to the forest camp. Well, they checked him. They put him in jail for 4 days and sent him down to Shelton, the center, and kept him behind bars every day, all day long. And they checked him and said, well, you have a heart problem, so you can't put you in the forest camp, so you have to go to McNeil Island. And when I heard that, I was disturbed, and I made calls into the marshal and everybody else. I was really disturbed, the lawyer and so forth. And I said, we're going to have to pray. And they said, well, that's... So I wrote a letter to the judge. But before I had a chance to send it, the same day that Margie got that letter, she got the next letter coming right in. I got a call back saying, well, they said that instead they're going to send him up to the forest camp as a cook. They have people up there, a couple of mechanics cooking, and everybody's complaining about the food, and he's been a cook for years, and that's his job, is cooking. And God's sending him up. So when there's no way, God makes a byway. They said, well, the heart wasn't in such bad condition afterwards. It kind of beat me a little fast. Oh, what happened? I don't know, but I know who happened. Jerome had ruined kidneys and was dying, but God made a byway and restored him. My father died, but God made a byway and raised him from the dead, and he's here right in the service tonight, this morning. God is the God of the impossible. How many believe that? Man and circumstances might hem you in horizontally, but God will rescue you vertically. Now, he might rescue you by that method called homegoing, but to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There's no sting in death when you know the Lord. He might rescue you by making the mountain in front of you a plain so you can go right on through. Or he might rescue you by dropping you provisions, in which case, fight on. You're hemmed in, but fight on. They drop your provisions right in the middle, like the paratroopers do. But however God chooses to do it, go on in the way that he chooses to do it. Don't make up your mind how he's going to do it, but call for help, get the provisions, and go on with God. Now, quickly, I have to end this up. Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. The Greek is pursued, therefore persecuted, but not forsaken, or not abandoned, or not left in the lurch. Pursued, but not abandoned. God has promised us persecution, but he has also promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's promised not to abandon us. David was not abandoned when he was fleeing before Saul. David was not abandoned by God when he even sinned with Uriah and Bathsheba. David was not abandoned by God when he went against the great giant Goliath. Abraham lied down in Egypt and lost his wife, but he was not abandoned by God. The Jews were facing death in Persia at the time of Esther, but God did not abandon them. The three Hebrew children were actually cast into the fiery furnace, but God did not abandon them. Peter, Paul, Silas were all in prison, but God did not abandon them. It's important you don't abandon God. I remember when Dave Link had to go to jail. I told him for a crime he committed before he got saved. I said, Dave, Peter, I said, we prayed that God would deliver you out of this. He hasn't seen fit to do it. Therefore, you're going to have to go through it. It's for 6 months. But listen, Peter, James, and Peter, and Paul, and Silas, they went to prison and they hadn't done anything wrong. I said, you're actually paying for a crime that you actually committed before you were saved. But they didn't commit any crime and they were put in prison. Why did Paul and Silas do in prison when the people in the stocks bet like this? They praised God, the scripture says. I said, so you praise God. Hold the faith, brother. Don't give up. I exhorted him. I wrote him a letter. When I went down to see him, he'd been beat to pieces. He never did recover spiritually from that, unfortunately, because he never held on. And I said, be a testimony. Start right out letting people know who you are. Pray to God. Don't let anything in. Hold on, brother. Paul and Silas can do it when they were persecuted for the namesake. You can do it when you're being jailed for something that you did do. But he never made it. Tom Alberts was kept from the Navy when he was already in Naval Reserve. Bud Case was kept through the Navy, but he's healed through it. See, God saw fit to keep some from it and use them to strengthen some of them through it. You know, I hate to say this, but Bud was a fairly new Christian. I really had concern because I doubted that he'd make it through that Navy. But he came through stronger. Some go in and fall. He came through with more strength, and I'm sure that if he had not gone that way, that he would not have gained the strength. He was pressed, and he held to it, and he made it all the way through. He had some little dips, some little troubles, but he made it. He made it. The Apostle Paul was kept from death. Stephen was kept through death. Some saints will be kept from tribulation. Some saints will be kept through tribulation. But if God keeps you from it or through it, brother, his hand is there to keep you. You hold on. You hold on. And the last clause is cast down, but not destroyed. Here again is the terms of a gladiator. Cast down, but not destroyed. I went in contest one time with a third degree black belt, and I was a first degree, and that third degree is higher. And this Japanese man had a lot more experience than I had. And he kept chopping my feet down. And he would come in with sweeps, and he would chop my feet off from under me and drop me to my knee. And he kept doing that. He kept dropping me to my knee. And I couldn't do anything with him. I couldn't throw him. I couldn't even prevent it. But he kept chopping me down. He kept chopping me down with my knee. But I would always get back up. That's as far as he could go. And when we got through the match, he was the one who was frustrated, not me. He was so frustrated because he thought that he should be able to beat me, and he should because of his rank and experience at that time. But he wasn't able to. All he could do was drop me to my knee. But he never got anything from it. He never made a throw. He never made the match. I kept getting chopped down, but I didn't give up, and I didn't lose the match. Now, in that case, we tied, but in the case with you and the Lord, you can, and the devil, you can win.